Hello, welcome to the FPL experiment. There are three of us on this podcast. We've all played FPL individually for years. This season, for the first time ever, we have one team, the team that matters, the experiment team. Three of us combining our FPL thoughts into one team. The target is to finish in the top 50k. Let's make some plans for game week 28. The FPL Experiment Podcast, as seen on the official FPL show last week with Jules and James. Greg, how did you find your TV debut?
I was bricking it, I'm not going to lie. But, like, you know, a swan when it looks all serene on the surface. Well, I'm not saying I look serene, but then the little legs were just going nuts underneath. That's pretty much how I would surmise that performance.
When you watched Greg, Nick, did you think swan?
You know what? I have to hand it to him. I was very impressed with Greg. He was very articulate. And weirdly, I didn't actually think he would be. I thought the nerves might get to him, but he was very, very good. So I've got to hand it to him.
Greg, what's the one story that you've told everyone afterwards?
That I never knew makeup for a shiny head was an actual thing. Just I've told everyone about that. Like, I love it. I'm going to get it more often just to walk around like the street with, just so I don't blind people in the summer.
Do you know what? Of all the comments that you got for your Instagram post, which is basically a photo of Greg on the show, my favorite one was one of your mates saying that you look like a human roll-on deodorant. And I have never heard that one before, but that's definitely my new favorite.
Yeah, cheers, Dan Barber.
So obviously we were only allowed to have two in the studio because of COVID restrictions. So Nick, you were very kind. You said, look, you two go. What was your favorite moment being on the other side?
I just loved seeing you two in the studio. It was so bizarre. And, you know, you guys, you love the limelight. I kind of shy away from it, you know. You guys want, you're hungry for the limelight. So I was happy to let you have it this time around. But next time, we'll all get on there. We'll do a takeover.
Nick, do you know what annoyed me? You know, they all sit and do the cross leg thing. You know, that's the look that everyone goes for. I saw Gianni can do it. James Richardson does it. It's like, look, I'm so relaxed. I'm just a chilled out entertainer. It really works for everyone, right? I can't do, my legs don't bend that way. They don't go that way. I was so annoyed because it looked like the comfortable thing to do on those tiny mini sofas for a 6 foot man. I was like, that's just, I need to get into that position. Yeah, couldn't do that.
See, I like the fact that you thought the sofas were tiny because to me, they were huge. They were massive.
Did your feet touch the floor, Greg? I didn't notice.
Nah, mate, that's why I crossed a leg.
If you did miss us on the FPL show, by the way, here are some of the highlights.
Time now to onto the biggest question of all, and that is the captaincy question.
So, Greg, who are you thinking of for captaincy?
The safe option's Gundogan.
Okay.
Only got 30 seconds. Adam, who are you thinking?
I was thinking Kane. I think I'm going to be outvoted this week. I think against Crystal Palace, who've been incredibly leaky at the back, he's a really good option to go for.
It's fine, lads. It's just a 20-point swing, so it's not a problem. I'm fine that you went with Gundogan. Honestly, I've not thought about it this week.
You've not mentioned it to us all week as well, so totally fine.
Anyway, I guess we'll probably talk about that later. Let's get into the podcast. We're going to talk about captaincy later on. We'll talk about transfers for the game week. We'll discuss differentials, the best players for game week 28, and our takeaways for this game week as well, starting with Greg.
There's no better feeling in FPL when you do a double transfer or a triple transfer, you take a points hit and it works. And last week, it worked for us. And we can be a bit smug this week. And that smugness comes with a bit of vindication because we were to-ing and fro-ing for quite a lot of last week's episode. And it felt good when Bale banged those goals in. And then our man Jay Lings, as much as it pains me to...
Say Jay Lings, is that what pains you?
Yeah, well, yeah, the fact that I said...
Because that's horrendous.
But like when he scored, it was so annoying, obviously being a Leeds fan, but at least it was tinged with a little bit of justification for us bringing him in.
Yeah, I'm so pleased we were brave, actually. There are moments where you are about taking a hit, but actually just watching Gareth Bale looking absolutely phenomenal, although of course against Crystal Palace, was a wonderful thing. Just watching a game when you're an FPL manager and you've got somebody performing well, it's like a double whammy of feelings.
And it's very rare that you get a differential that scores that many points. Like, he is still a massive differential. So bravery paid off this week. Like, where are we sat now? Like, I know before tonight's game, we're around 51,000. So we were just outside our kind of target range, weren't we?
Yeah, we've dropped to 57,000. 35% increase in our rank this week.
So we're close now to that 50k target. Nick, what's your takeaway for the game week?
I mean, it's quite an obvious one for me, but I still think it's worth mentioning. So this game requires so much luck, right? And I think this is very apparent last game week. So no one saw that United victory over City coming, I didn't think. It was the rational decision to bench United players who had only scored one goal against a Big Six opponent this season. And, you know, a lot of people did this, like including us with Shaw. I know we've had our kind of back and forth this week about Luke Shaw, but it made sense to bench Shaw. But inevitably after the result, there were, you know, people in the FPL community saying, oh, you never should have benched Bruno, you never should have benched Shaw, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, all the stats pointed to United getting beaten and not scoring. So I think it made sense to bench them. So I think sometimes you just get lucky. And if you do get lucky, you just have to like own it. Don't like make out that you're like some sort of visionary.
Do you know what? I completely disagree with that. And I thought you might bring this up. So actually, if you look at the two, so we had the decision to make between Shaw and Digne, right? They were the two players that we had to decide between. So you've got Chelsea, the best defence in the Premier League at the moment, but Manchester City, like marginally second, like not taking into account tonight's game against Southampton, obviously. But before then, the two were kind of neck and neck. You've got Everton, yeah. They've kept lots of clean sheets recently. You've got Man United, they've kept lots of clean sheets. So really, from that perspective, they were kind of neck and neck. That's where the decision was. But there's a couple of things here, and I think it's worth us analysing this. So essentially, Shaw was the best defender in the game going into this game week in terms of attacking stats. And Digne had not really done a lot recently in terms of attacking stats. So actually, was it the best decision statistically? Did everyone think that that game was going to be United getting run over? I personally didn't think that. But also, we also had a marker for this game about 2 months ago where they played out a really boring 0-0 draw. And United, when they play against the top sides, generally this season, have played out really dull games. So, you know, I think Shaw was the person to play. But also, I do think as well, Nick, I think you've got a bit of a marginal bias against United because they're one of the teams that you support.
yeah. No, but I think I do agree with you, Adam, but I think that Chelsea haven't been scoring loads of goals.
But they just pulled Liverpool apart. A lot of teams have pulled Liverpool apart, but more and more, Chelsea are becoming a team that have built, they've had a new manager come in, defensively they've kind of built their stability at the back, and then you grow from there once a new manager comes in. And they're now becoming a side that are not only brilliant at the back, but dominating in terms of going forward as well, which is not necessarily surprising. It's what every manager tries to do. It's just at the moment, Tuchel's achieving it.
I think Shaw or Digne was a bit of a toss-up, honestly. I think it was more people who were saying, oh, you can't drop Bruno, you can't drop Bruno. But I think, you know, it made sense on paper for some people to drop him. Like, I don't think it's that wild that people
I don't agree
Bruno
again with that, because I think he's the best scoring player in the game. So why do you drop the best scoring player in the game? He can score
because
in any match.
He's not scored against the top six. In
that's when you're looking too deep into all like all these tiny little stats that are going on. You've got the best performing player in the game and you put him on the bench. That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, we didn't do it, so it's fine.
No, I know.
I just mean that I can see why people did do it.
And I think you can't just be as black and white as maybe you both are, because I think with Fernandes definitely going into that game, United are coming off the back of 3-0 and 3 very abject performances. United, and particularly Bruno, who looks so tired. You then put that together with the fact that they're going to go and play a Man City team. And yes, I know that Man United have done particularly well at the Etihad. And yes, there's 0-0 that potentially, as you said, they could have done for sure as well. But there is looking into the stats and then looking in too much. But if you had watched that Palace game and you'd seen how lethargic that performance
was.
Yeah,
but if there's one game you're going to turn it on for and to not be really tired for, it's going to be the Manchester derby. Let's jump into game week picks. Let's talk about keepers. We've obviously got the blank game week coming up. So we're kind of looking ahead and making plans for that. If we're looking at this game week in isolation, I think West Brom have been really good at the back recently. I think Man City are always a good bet, although I'd thought that ahead of tonight's game, and then having seen them concede a couple to Southampton, I'm thinking, well, is that a great decision? But for me, if it was just 1 week in isolation, I'd look at Johnson this week from West Brom. I think if he gets a clean sheet, you're coming up with save points. I think if you're making plans going into the blank game week. Martinez is the obvious choice. He's got Newcastle this week. They're pretty decimated without Almiron, Saint-Maximin and Wilson. And obviously they've got the double as well. So they're my thoughts around keeper. Anything to add, Greg?
Yeah, I'll back up the Martinez point. I think for me, just not alone from this week, but also obviously going into blank game week, Martinez is the obvious choice. I mean, he just gobbles up bonus points, that guy. And I mean, Aston Villa themselves are just, they're fantastic from a defensive perspective. They're 14 clean sheets this season, so only Man City have actually had more. Over the last five game weeks, Martinez has picked up 33 points. He's really good to own. And he's quite safe. You don't need to worry about it. It's like, yeah, he's goalkeeper, set, forget, done. I mean, I've also a nice little stat around Martinez. Obviously, I'm going to throw this in for you. He is level now with the most clean sheets ever for an Argentinian in the Premier League. Who's the other Argentinian goalkeeper with 20 clean sheets? Think ponytail.
I didn't know David Seaman was Argentinian.
Old Speroni.
Oh, you should have said think tracksuit bottoms. I'd have got it then.
There's also another point as well with Villa play at Newcastle is that when Newcastle don't have either Almiron or Alan Saint-Maximin in their team, they don't score and they don't win. And since the start of last season, since they've both been playing for Newcastle, they're winless when both of them don't play in that team.
Who are you thinking about in goal this week, Nick?
Three minds aligned, guys. I think Martinez is the man. Plus, he's playing the blank. I think Palace West Brom, I mean, I've never seen a fixture this season that looks more like it's going to be 0-0. So I think either Guaita or Johnston could be good. So yeah, there's not much for me to add there.
In defence, I think Spurs and Brighton are probably the best defences to target for the free hit. But Spurs play Arsenal this week, two sides that have a lot of attacking potential. So I don't know how keen I'd be to jump on Spurs now. I think that's quite a brave move if you do. So with that in mind, I think Brighton have got a couple of cheap options that are worth jumping on. We've talked a lot about Dunk in the past, but I also was interested with Veltman as well because he scored for Brighton recently. Actually had a quick look back to see what his previous goal scoring record was like, and actually at Ajax he popped up with a couple of goals previously, so he might be someone that would be a real differential if you were looking to go for Brighton, if you needed that rank jump as well. How about you, Greg, in defence?
I've gone for Reece James, Chelsea. They're away to Leeds this weekend. It's a little bit dangerous given the fact that Tuchel seems to have a bit of a penchant for rotation.
Ooh, that penchant!
He's played 90 minutes three of the last four games. And the game that he didn't actually play 90 minutes, he came on for what was an injured Hudson-Odoi at the time. We all know how good that Chelsea defence is. And under Tuchel, they played 9, 1, 6, 6 clean sheets in that time. He got an assist against us back in, game week 11 when they beat us 3-1. And they absolutely dominated us at that game. And I think this fixture is likely to go the same way, given how well they're playing at the moment. The only issue I've got with Reece James, he has only actually got one double-digit haul this season. That was back in game week 1. So I think he could be a really good option as a one-week punt if you're going to go there against Leeds.
Yeah, I think it depends what moves you're making, doesn't it? If you've got free hits still, and if you've got wild card that maybe you're planning to use in game week 29 or something like that, but probably more likely free hit, then this week could be a really good week for some people to be able to catch up lots of points, depending on what moves you're making. Nick, how about you for defenders?
So I've actually gone for a lesser defender. I haven't been that great defensively this season, but I fancy them to keep a clean sheet at home to Sheffield United, who have scored just once in their last four. I was hoping to see a bit of fight from them to try and get off the foot of the table, but I feel like they're just kind of, they're a bit too far gone. So in terms of attacking threat from that defence, Pereira and Castagna have both been playing further forward in recent weeks. So I know their stats aren't really setting the world alight. I had a look today and they're not great, but of those defenders, if you're going to be looking at anyone to get an attack in return, I think Pereira is the man for it. He's got the strongest distribution and expected goal involvement numbers of those defenders. So I think he could be a big shout for this week.
Nick, in midfield, Son for Spurs, keep or ditch? Because going into that blank game week, lots of people are going to already have him, but obviously Bale's around as well. If you didn't have Bale, but you had Son, you know, obviously what you've then got to do is use a transfer. What would you do?
I'd keep him. He's still delivering. Like, I know he's not delivering the same volume of points as Bale has been. But Son is like nailed in that team. Bale's getting brought off at 60 minutes every week because Mourinho is trying to protect him. You know, Son and Kane broke the combination record, like the all-time combination record. So they've assisted each other more than any other duo in Premier League history now. So I think he's still getting in amongst the points and he's guaranteed to play. I wouldn't be taking point hits to swap him for Bale, definitely not.
I think with Son as well, it's worth noting, and Ad, you brought this up the other day, and actually looking at it when you watch the match, it's really evident now that he is now the big creator for Spurs. You've got Bale and Kane that are now finishing off the chances that he's creating, but his minutes per big chances created compared to Bale and Kane over the last three game weeks is way, way better than those two. So as long as you've got Kane and Bale in the team, like, Son's going to create chances and he will get the odd goal now as well. So you keep him. I think it'd be silly, given the fixtures that are coming up, you'd be naive to get rid of him.
Greg, who are you thinking about in midfield for this week?
See, this might surprise you because Nick just said he can't see more of a 0-0 game than he's seen all season with Crystal Palace and West Brom. But I've actually gone for Zaha this week. He came on for a half-time against Spurs. He just makes things happen. I know Palace were dreadful, but he did hit the post. And whenever he plays, stuff happens to that Palace side. I mean, last time he played them, he got a massive 18-point haul, goal, assist. I know West Brom have been more solid, but something in my gut just says that Zaha is going to score this week.
Nick, how about you, midfield? What are you thinking?
I actually found this really hard this week. I think Bruno is the standout selection at home to West Ham. I think a few managers will be looking at the Fulham City game as an opportunity, but Fulham are a different prospect defensively now, so I'm not sure there's going to be loads of goals there. My pick this week is Mason Mount away to Leeds. Tuchel gave him a rest last game. He'll be feeling fresh on some set pieces. He scored two in his last three from 8 goal attempts, which is the third highest number of attempts in the league amongst midfielders over that period. So I think he's a shoo-in to start for Chelsea. I mean, that seems to be the risk with Chelsea. As exciting as they look at the moment, you know, Tuchel said he's going to rotate all the time because he just has to with the amount of competitions. So if you can find a way into that team, it's worth trying to take it.
Yeah, it's a really European way of approaching things as well, to go for rotation. Whereas in England, what we like to do is just play people until they're virtually injured. Like, oh yeah, his knee's not quite falling out of socket. He's fine. Get him on. You know, that's the sensible thing to do. Your best player has been playing every single game in Mason Mount. Let's just give him a week where we don't play him. It's just logical. But from a fantasy perspective, yeah, sometimes a bit annoying. Anyway, let's look at strikers. I'm going to go for Harry Kane. He's the most obvious this week. 11 goals in 12 Premier League games against Arsenal. I think the interesting thing with Spurs, especially with the double coming up, is watching what happens in the fixture in the Europa League. I said this last time we did the podcast. Jose wants a trophy. If he got the Europa League, you know, that's every conversation of his for the next year. So he knows that he needs that trophy and he won't stop banging on about that trophy if he gets it. So I wouldn't be too surprised if he played Bale in the quarterfinals of the Europa League. I really wouldn't.
Me either. I think you've got to go with momentum as well. And right now, they're in a really good place from an attacking perspective. I mean, they're still a little bit dodgy at the back, but whilst they're playing as they are, and you can maybe get 55, 60 minutes out of Bale and then bring him off as a precaution, I think you're right about Europe. It'd be interesting to see what that starting team looks like. I mean, I've gone for Kane as well this week. You just can't ignore him when he's playing as well as he is. And even in the reverse fixture in game week 11, he got a goal and assist and 12 points. So we know he likes a goal against them. And that Arsenal side, they're so Jekyll and Hyde. You don't know which one's going to turn up. And I know it's a derby, but I fancy Kane to get a double-digit haul again.
I've gone Kane as well. I mean, as Ad said, 11 goals in 12 games against Arsenal. Like, that is a preposterous record. You know, combine that with the fact that Arsenal haven't kept a clean sheet in 6 weeks. I feel like he's going to go turbo. So he'd be captain material for me.
Was there anyone else up front that stuck out for you, just so that we're not being really dull?
Richarlison against Burnley. But I don't think he's going to bang in a double-digit haul or anything. But I think he seems to be the most in-form striker at Everton right now.
Yeah, but they're being uber clinical at the moment, that Everton side. They're not actually creating that many goals. And when you look at their expected goals and the actual goals they are scoring, it's pretty much par for the course at the moment. Aside from that, they're not really that exciting. I think Werner could do Leeds a bit of damage this weekend.
Yeah, but you think that every week with Werner, and then what does he do? Not very much.
Then Werner goes and does a Werner.
Have you watched much of him? Do you think he's confident? Has he got his confidence back? Or, well, he's never had it in England, but has he got some confidence?
I mean, I think Tuchel's going to have to do something pretty amazing there to turn that back around, because he's had such a weird start for somebody who looked so brilliant before.
All those players they brought in, so Ziyech, Havertz and Werner, have been, I feel like that's kind of been forgotten in the press. Like, they've not really done anything. I know you've got to give them a good 6 months to bed in, but you'd think one of them would have turned it on, you know, by now.
The thing is, Ziyech played in a league that wasn't exactly that strong. You know, he's not playing in one of the top leagues in Europe. So I think it's going to take him a while. Havertz, I can understand as well, because he's a young player who is still very much learning the game. Werner's the one for me that's, you know, he's a bit older and probably should have been a bit quicker to get up to speed. Pulisic as well. Where's he gone? He's gone completely missing too.
I think Havertz played really well last game. Now, it's definitely his best game he's played in a Chelsea shirt. He looked comfortable in his own skin for the first time in a very long time in that Chelsea game.
So in a minute, we'll definitely talk about the FPL experiment team. We'll talk about our transfers for the week and also our captain decision. Firstly, we're going to talk about differentials. Nick, I am really sorry, because obviously last time out, you did do the intro in your baritone voice, and the general response to that was it sounded a bit creepy. So unfortunately, we're going to have to stick with Greg. Greg Shaw.
Differential of the week.
So good news, Nick, is that you are on the chase. So last time out, league table, you were at the bottom, 57. Greg on 79. I was at the top with 83. We've had a couple of game weeks since then, in a way, because we had the double, which we hadn't totted up. And we also had game week 27 as well. So just to run through those, Nick picked Pickford for the double game week and picked Pereira last time out. Pickford went really well for you. Two clean sheets. That was a 13-point haul. Nice. Greg had Tielemans, 8 points. And then last week had Bartley, who got a clean sheet for West Brom. Really nice return for you as well, with 14 over the two game weeks. Didn't go so well for me. Diagne and Pepe. So Diagne got me 4 points for West Brom. Pepe played for 21 minutes and got 1 point. So league table now looks like this. Nick, still at the bottom, 73 points, but very much chasing up behind. I've got 86. And Greg is now at the top with 93.
Come on.
Greg, what are you saying?
I've gone for El Mohammadi this week. 0.4% owned, 4.3 million. Away to a decimated infighting Newcastle team.
Why El Mohammadi?
Sometimes you don't need to question the differential choices. You just need to say, interesting. All right. I hope he doesn't score you any points.
That is interesting. You could have gone for El Ghazi.
Yeah, not the L I wanted this week. I wanted Mr. Mohammadi.
Nick, how about you?
I've gone for my defender pick. I've gone for Ricardo Pereira for Leicester, home to Sheffield United, 5.9 million, 1.2% owned.
I've gone for my goalkeeper pick, Sam Johnson. Surprised to see him at 2.5% owned. If West Brom get a clean sheet, I think that's 10 points, and I'll be back above Greg again. So
very,
nice.
Very confident.
Differentials, we'll get back to that next time we are doing the podcast. Let's talk about our team. We had some discussion about that last time. It was a bit indecisive and a bit fraught. We decided not to be sensible. And in the end, it all kind of worked out okay. I mean, it would have been nice if we played Shaw. But, you know, we won't talk about Luke Shaw. So we've had Martinez, Digne, Cancelo, Cresswell, Bale, Gundogan, Fernandes, Rafinha and Lingard in midfield. Bamford and Kane up top. Kane got us 19, was the star of the week. Gundogan came in as captain with the late goal. Not the late goal, but a goal in the later game against Southampton. Bale did well. Lingard grabbed some points for us. Fernandes as well. Actually, this week, we've had a really nice climb. We're heading close to that 50k marker.
We're heading towards the promised land. We are currently sitting at 57,828.
Specific. I like it. 57k. Nick, what are you thinking about this game week? What moves do you want to make?
So I look at our squad. I quite like the lineup. I mean, my only concerns are we're playing Shaw and Cresswell against each other. So we're either bank on a 0-0 or some assists, but I don't want to hear Adam chew my ear off about Luke Shaw anymore. So leave that. And then we've got Rafinha against the best defence in the league. I was going to mention Gundogan, like in his positional kind of shift. But I think really the biggest thing to discuss on transfers this week is that any transfer we do has to be with 29 in mind, because we're building up to a full contingent. And we can't get rid of any of our bench players because that's packed full of 29 players. So I think we just have to accept that we don't have a perfect team this week, but it still looks pretty strong. And I would rather just roll our transfer and save two to prep for the blank next week. As dull as that is, I think that's the sensible thing to do.
Dull as dishwater, innit? But I'm in total agreement.
Is there any player that you feel like we're missing out on this game week, Nick?
I mean, I've always thought it's strange that we don't have three Man City, but the longer this season goes on, the less of a necessity I think that is. I think if we were going to do it, we'd have done it a month or so ago, and we haven't. So there's nothing that I'm really looking at this week thinking we're going to really be in danger of dropping if we don't have them. I think we've got all the main bases covered.
Greg, anyone that you think isn't in there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously El Mohamedy is sticking out like a sore thumb to me. But aside from that, not really. I think a lot of it depends on if Grealish is back, because yeah, I would quite like Grealish in my team if he is against that Newcastle team. But again, we're just going to have to see what Dean Smith says, but he never plays with a straight bat.
But even so, who would you bring him in for? Because that's the problem.
Probably Gundogan this week.
Yeah.
The thing is with Grealish, he wasn't exactly scoring loads of points before he went out injured. So I don't know why everybody's all of a sudden forgotten that. When he went out injured, the better player to have of the two was probably Ollie Watkins. But also, from what I've read about Grealish, he hasn't even been on the grass training. He's quite a fit guy, oi oi. But I don't know if he comes back and plays the full 90 anyway.
No, I'd give it a game, see how he gets on. I'm not fussed about having him this week.
Only player for me that sticks out is De Bruyne, but I don't see how he fits into that lineup anyway. I don't think we can do Gundogan to De Bruyne. And to be honest, even if we can, I don't think it's a sensible move, because we're building, like Nick says, towards game week 29. But I always like it in the weeks when you're not making a transfer just to ask, who's the player that I would really want? And I don't think there's anybody really staring at us. Although I think Gundogan's position tonight was, again, like he was playing a bit deeper, left-hand side of a midfield three, wasn't as far forward as some of the others. I think maybe that ship might have sailed, but that's maybe a conversation for another day, something maybe to address. Maybe next week, who knows? How about captain for you this week, Nick?
Easy. Harry, only one option for me this week. Bruno, you could make an argument for. I think those stats against Arsenal, 11 and 12, can't ignore them.
Yeah, same for me. Four man, Harry Kane.
Yeah. Yeah, and I agree with you, Nick. I think Fernandes is possibly the other option. But West Ham have been so good at the back. It's difficult to play somebody against West Ham.
They weren't particularly good against us at the weekend. And I know they obviously won quite convincingly in the end, but they were gettable. And if Man United do turn up, then there is definitely goals in that game.
Yeah, the thing is, I think it's really tough to judge a team based on Leeds, because I think Leeds can absolutely batter teams in terms of attacking play. It's really hard. I kind of judge West Ham more over a longer period than I do up against just Leeds, because so many times I've watched Leeds this season and thought, oh, you could easily have scored four in this game if you didn't have Bamford up front.
Yeah, which is frustrating. The funny thing is, I know he's not an FPL asset that's worth talking about now. Maybe he might come to the fore next season, but Declan Rice is getting better and better and better every time I watch him. And I was doing a little bit of research into him to see, like, actually, is he a viable FPL asset? And is he getting into positions and this sort of stuff? But he's actually now carrying the ball this season, on average, 36 more metres a game than he was last season. And he said after the game, like, I'm really trying to model my game on looking at Yaya Toure and Gerard and those sort of guys. So I think he's probably one to watch for future, because he's taking penalties now. He's going to be taking free kicks as well. So it's interesting to see his development and evolution across the season.
Interestingly, at the start of the season, I heard him say that he's modelling his game on N'Golo Kante. So if he's going to be N'Golo Kante, Gerrard and Yaya Toure rolled into one, he's going to be an amazing player. Unstoppable.
Just something I thought I'd mention, you know, I want to take the role of Adam for a second here. I'll be mummy. So with the blank coming up for our listeners who don't have a free hit and maybe don't have a wild card, if they're making transfers this week, who would you be looking at to get in now for that blank?
It's your Spurs assets straight away. That goes without saying. If you can go and get that triumvirate, then happy days. You can put them all in your team. Leeds goes without saying for me.
Yeah, I think the Spurs assets are obvious. I think you could go for Lingard and Antonio probably because they're worth targeting. Really interesting to see how Arsenal get on this week. They've got some attacking players that could well be worth picking up. I think so many people are underestimating Fulham at the moment and everybody will go with Leeds options. So you could play that however you like. Like either you kind of say to yourself, right, that game, how do you see it playing out? Now, Fulham have been a lot more defensive than they were at the start of the season when that game was all over the place. So they could quite easily nick a goal. There's lots of good stats out there about Josh Madger, who could be a real differential for the game week. It looks like Brighton would be good to invest in at the back, but it depends if Newcastle have got their attacking players in.
Aubameyang could be an option again now.
Do you know what you said about Major? He had his stats over the last four game weeks have been really good. And he's been unlucky not to get more goals. I mean, he scored two, hasn't he? He's had like 10 shots in the box, five big chances. He will get chances against Leeds. You can't argue with what Scott Parker's done over a lot, sort of second half of this season. Like they were terrible though to start. Anderson has been a great signer for him. He's been really, really good at the back. And if they just had a bit of a better striker maybe earlier on in the season, then they probably wouldn't be in a position they are. I hope they stay up because I do like watching them and I think they're really good to watch. And that's probably sounds strange coming from me because I've battered them most of the season. But I would rather them be in the league than Brighton.
So I'll post the FPL Experiment team up on our social channels at FPL Experiment. If you happen to be on one of your podcast sites and you fancy writing us a five-star review and a really nice comment about the show, just feel free. We don't mind at all. Good luck for your game week. I hope it goes well.